different continuous approaches. One is a continuous meta. I was originally asked to give some overview of ADSC meta, and half of my talk is devoted to this recent progress. And the other half of my talk, I'd like to introduce our recent new approach to continuous description of tensor network, and so that it is dual to ADS-CFT. And so this is my content, and this is first, I'd like to give some overview of CMERA approach to ADS-CFT. And with all, thanks to GFRAZE, we have already nice debut of CMERA and its interesting development. And also thanks to Gen 3, we have an interesting overview of this ADS-CFT and application to tensor network. So my discussion about discrete approach of this tensor network to ADS-CFT is quite be brief here. And after that, using my half of my talk, I'd like to introduce some new idea to realize some continuous tensor network based on ideas highly motivated by the idea of tensor network renormalization. We had a talk by Frank, and this is based on Ivan Lee and Vidal. And we want to consider some continuous version of this tensor network renormalization based on the approach of Euclidean path integrals. So we do some Euclidean path integral and discretize it, and we want to make this path integral is most efficient, and so that we kick out many of the brackets. So initially we start with a very coarse grain, but ends up with very fine grain, but still we get the exactly same UV wave function, and this naturally leads to the hyperbolic space. This is based on our recent development. So so I'm combining many developments, so it's my these are my collaborators, it's huge, and Shinsei Liu about the CMERA, and also these are my our postdocs, which I worked with, Pavel Kapta-Kundu, and Morabashi, Nozaki, Numasawa, they're former students, and Shiba, and Shueda Wen, and these two are current, my graduate student, Miyaji and Watanabe in YRTP. And for convenience, I'll summarize some references. So already we had some nice review by Giffrey, and this is the original paper of this CMERA, Heidemann, Osborn, Schrede, and Verastrate. So based on this approach, so we have some application of this series CFT, which I'm going to review in this talk. And this is the first part, and second part, the reference is right here. So this is a heuristic approach, which we first attempted last year, but this is a more sophisticated version, which I worked with Kapta, Kundu, Miyaji, and Watanabe, which is just submitted archive in a few months ago, and we are trying to work in progress, and writing some longer paper which fills more details. And also I'd like to mention that also this afternoon there are Bartek Cech's talk, and this is close related, and here's a very nice progress in related subject. Okay, so let me begin with the introduction. So already but I gave an introduction by James, my but this part is very brief. So ADS-CFT, or more generally holography, which is founded by Smaldo Sena just exactly 20 years ago, and it gives some geometrization of dynamics of quantum field theory. And one important fact behind holography nowadays, it's recognized, is a relation to quantum entanglement, and this is heavily also used in condensed matter physics and quantum, of course, in quantum information theory. But this quantum entanglement for many body systems somehow captures nice geometry of quantum many body systems in a very convenient way. So if we take some very complicated quantum states, like a lot of quantum many body systems, so a very complicated linear combination, it's very algebraically complicated. But if we use the idea of tensor network, we can write in a rather simple way by using geometry, so some graph geometries. And so thanks to the GFRAZE work of this meta, we have a very nice network, which resembles the ADS space-time, and as observed by Brian Swinger, so we seem to have very nice correspondence between them. And this leads to the idea of emergent space-time from entanglement. So this nice interplay between algebra and the geometry. And so, and we can also look at particular quantities, so-called entanglement entropies, to see this kind of motivations. So if we compute entanglement entropy in ADS-CFT, we can relate this entanglement to the area of minimal surface, as in previous talk. But if we look at this formula, so it's like Newton constant is actually the length in terms of area in terms of Planck unit. So we have some minimal surface in anti-Doshita space, and we decompose into small cells whose area is exactly Planck length cells. Then if we count number of the cells, then that gives this entanglement entropy, which measures the information included to region A. So we have region A and region B. So in other words, so we have some, we can naively expect that there are, for each cell, so we have 1 bit of information. So there are some penetrating EPR pairs are penetrating on each cell. So then we have some this kind of geometry. So the geometry consists of some bits, but we can of course change the size of A and also location everywhere. So this kind of qubits are everywhere in the anti-Doshita space in the context of ADS-CFT. So this is a very nice speculation again of this emergent spacetime from qubits or tensor networks. So we'd like to see more of this, and already also debuted by many speakers. So this great idea is this MERA, and it has a very nice structure, which is very similar to the hyperbolic space, the time slice of ADS space-time. And this is this, as pointed by Brian Swinger, so we have a nice interpretation. So if we evaluate this entanglement entropy, so this MERA consists of this coarse-graining operation called isometry, this triangle, and also unitary transformation, so-called disentangler. So in the end, we started very entangled ground state of quantum critical point, but we cut entanglement, each stage end up with just trivial state. And this gives some geometrical picture of how the system is entangled. And if we compute entanglement entropy in the particular region A, so we can actually bound the entanglement by the number of intersections. So if we some write this region A and some curve which surround this region A, and we just count the number of bonds, roughly this gives some upper bound of entropy. And for MERA, we have some in 1 plus 1D, so one dimensional spin chain and one time direction is hidden. So that case, we have some logarithmic rule, which is peculiar, very famous for 2D CFT, and it nicely gives some nice estimation of entanglement entropy. At the same time, this so to get the most strict bound, we have to minimize the number of bonds, and this procedure looks very similar to the computation of holographic entanglement entropy. So this original idea, it says that this tensor network of MERA, or the scale invariant, is correspond to some time slice of ADS space-time. So this is a very interesting idea, but at the same time, it raises many interesting questions. So many authors contribute to this subject. And so first of all, so it's obviously scale invariant, but what about special conformal invariance, which should exist in continuum limit? And also MERA network, is this isometry is not isotropic, so no isotropic nature. So this leads to some causal structure in MERA, so might be related to Doshita space, as in previous talk. And also the why entanglement entropy is saturated. So here it's just bound, but why this is saturated? If we saturate, it's nicely agree with holographic result. And finally, this is a more difficult question. So how we can see some sub-ADS scale locality. But there are very interesting recent developments, and some of them we will hear more tomorrow also. And so one approach is just improve tensor network, changes the tensor network from MERA. So this gives some more, have a nice, more better fit to a hyperbolic space. Like, for example, the work by this happy model, Patasky, Yoshida, Haruro, Preskill, this is called perfect tensor models, and the random tensor models we just had. So Hayden, Nezami, Chi, Thomas, and Walter, and Yang gives a very nice models which satisfy at least these three conditions. And also we will hear probably tomorrow that Gren's new tensor network, which he calls a hyper invariant tensor network, also nicely fit this ADS-CFT. And also there are other approach, which is we stick to MERA, but we reinterpret MERA in terms of some Doshita space, so-called kinematical space. Also this we had just previous talk, check Lampro and MacCarnish. So this is very mathematical, also very beautiful approach, and also resolve these issues. So these are current developments. So these are but mostly based on the discrete models, discrete lattice model. And if we want to relate this more, if we want to relate this kind of approach to ADS-CFT, in the end, we need to consider some quantum field theory, which is continuous theory. So we should treat the CFT literally. And we may expect also some of some problems, which I raised some questions, are maybe due to some lattice artifacts. So if we take some continuous limit, maybe some of them it will be resolved. Indeed, especially about symmetry, this continuous approach should give some better result. And so therefore, in this talk, I'd like to focus on the continuous approach to tensor network, and especially I'd like to explain two different approaches in this context. So these are contents, I just go back. So first we explain Chimera, and next I switch to the other recent approach, which we are doing about some optimization of path integral, which is deeply connected to the idea of tensor network renormalization. But before I go on, I just want to mention some, even though we don't know the details, but we have some basic principle which we expect to be true to have some nice ADS-CFT holography and its connection to tensor network. This is something we call surface state correspondence, but this is sort of also something I think equivalent to the bulk edge correspondence, which tensor network community people using. So this is about it's based on the idea of the holography. So we have some gravity. So in my convention, D plus two dimension, let's consider gravity in D plus two dimension. And holography says that this gravity is related to D plus one dimensional theory, quantum field theory. But we take some, if we just assume some gravity is described by some, for example, Einstein gravity, and pick up some codimension two surface, which we call sigma d, so it's d dimension, totally d plus two. But we assume that this is space-like surface and also convex surface. This is very important to have a nice property of entanglement. And then we would like to claim that this for each this kind of space-like surface, there are one quantum state in a dual holographic theory. This is a quite abstract Hilbert space, but we assume some holography. It is dual to some ADS case, it's dual to CFT, but more generally, okay, some Hilbert space, then there should be some state. And if this is a topologically trivial, then this should be pure state. But if there are some black hole horizon or even open manifold, then it should lead to some density matrix, which is a mixed state. So this kind of correspondence should be true in a tensor network model. So this is quite, basic combination of the point we talk about also. Yes, yes.
What happens if in the last sentences you drop gravity? You just don't say gravity. So you could have some structure in an extra dimension. Every time you consider surface,
Exactly. So anyway, this is something you are very familiar with. So we take some tensor network, mirror or more perfect tensor. Then anyway, we can specify some closed surface. Then we can define quantum state by contracting tensors. So this gives us a one state, and this is a kind of bulk edge duality in tensor network context, but my claim here is it should be, if there are some holography, this state corresponds to the surface which describes this space-time. So this is, this is not useful for computer expressing, but this is quite useful for when we formulate some analog of this similar and such a tensor networks. But I think, there are many ideas which is cross-related, this one. And especially if we take this perfect tensor network, this has a very nice property. When, for example, if we take some particular region and trace out the other part, so we can talk about some particular, some interval, only some part of this surface, but the other part we can choose any shape, but still we get the same reduced density matrix and that way. Anyway, so this is some basic assumption which I'd like to make in my talk. Okay, so now let's go to the Chimera story. So this Chimera formulation, heavily based on the Chimera formulation, worked out Heigman and collaborators. So this is a continuous mirror network. And we have the Ks. K is a disentangler. And L is a coarse graining, as usual. And U depends on the energy scale, length scale. So infrared, we take U goes to minus infinity. And U equals zero, we think it's a UB, just UB point. And omega is an unentangled state. This is some top tensor of Mera, and it should have no entanglement at all. And here I'd like to point out that in CFT, especially if we focus on conformal field theory, there are a nice candidate of omega. Namely, this is called boundary state, or which is also called known as the Ishibashi state or Kadi state. And the reason why this is very simple. So boundary state is just defined by the path integral, but we study some boundary, and a little bit, only infinitesimal amount of path integral, we can define some state. This is a definition of boundary state. So we need some regularization factor delta So we have boundary, and at this point we have a wave functional which is defined as a boundary state. But if we combine some of these two boundaries so that it has this kind of overlap, omega is a boundary state, and if we compute some correlation function, then because this radius is very, very small, infinitesimally small, so this distance between two points are much larger. So if we imagine the mirror method, then essentially this guy is contracted to its mirror and does not have any correlation between x1 and x2. So essentially, it's just a factorized. There are no correlation at all. There are no entanglement, in other words. But we can explicitly also confirm this, compute entanglement entropy in a specific model and confirm that there are no entanglement at all, essentially. So this is formulation, and this is general. This can be, in formal conformal field theory, in general conformal field theory, we can always define boundary states. So this gives one good candidate of this zero entanglement state. And by using, also this fits very nicely with this general structure of C-mirror. Let's focus on 2D CFT so that we have a Virasoro algebra. And this conformal symmetry, we have some Virasoro generator, Ln and Ln tilde, these are left-moving and right-moving generators. And for space-like scaling, so also we have space-like rescaling, this coarse-graining. But this is for general CFT. We can define it as some kind of radius change. When we compactify, then we can just radius change, and it's sort of radius change quantum French procedure. And so this IR infrared state, as I explained, so it can be regarded as some boundary state. And boundary state has a very special property. This Ln Virasoro generator satisfies this condition. But this is very, very nicely consistent with the C-mirror network, because if we consider some commutator of this generator with L, L is a coarse graining. And also this entangler case, we can confirm this is exactly zero, and this is true in at least in a free theory, and we believe this is true in any CFT. So they commute with each other. We should choose K in this way. But this is exactly the consistent with this condition. Because L, this omega state should be L invariant, scale invariant, a non-relativistic scale invariant. So this is consistent with this commutativity. So it has some nice mathematical structure. And we know this L, and we know dilatation of CFT, we know very much. So it, in terms of just energy stress tensor, so that way we can compute Ku explicitly. So in this way, in general CFT, we can also find Ku, so we can find some nice network, at least formally, you get some similar network. So this is some general construction. So now I'd like to also talk about the most important point, the consistency with ADS CFT. This is not the exact proof of the interpretation of C-mirror, but we should anyway test against some symmetry constraint. This is something I would like to talk about. So let's focus on two-dimensional C-mirror, and it's supposed to be dual to ADS3 space-time. So we remember this ADS3 CFT2. So ADS3 space is given by this global coordinate. We have this metric. And this has a SL2R cross SL2R symmetry. This is generated by this Killing vectors. It's just geometry. So this geometry has this symmetry. And we ADS-CFT tells us they correspond to Virasoro generator, SL global part of Virasoro generator. And especially on, if we focus on time slice, then this time slice invariant under this isometry, especially some linear combination of this isometry, namely this Ln minus Ln tilde, this is exactly the combination which we find here. So this is most interesting combination. And then, so we talk about this, how this state evolves. So let's forget about C-mirror, but we'd like to speculate what kind of tensor network appears from ADS3, CFT2. So we, using this surface state correspondence I just mentioned, so we can specify some particular surface which is just defined by constant law, some constant law circular circle. And then we have this particular surface, and this corresponds to some state psi law, which we call, and we are interested in some law evolution. So that should be, we start with some trivial state here, it's just zero size, but it's expanded. In the end, it should end up with conformal field theory vacuum. So, and this M is just written, this sort of disentangled, but here we don't assume any C-mirror, just want to derive C-mirror, basically, but below cutoff scale, I should say. So, and then, anyway, this law evolution, so this law, this is a Killing vector, so just change the law, radial direction, radial evolution. It's like written in terms of L minus 1, L 1, and like this way. So using this explicit realization, the law is here. And then we can, now we know this n minus 1 is written in terms of energy stress tensor integral, this standard 2D CFT interpretation of Virasoro algebra. Then we get, we can evaluate this way. So this is some regularization parameter. And we indeed find this is a dilatational operator. So that way, so we find this is dilatational operator. And this is exactly consistent with CMERA. So in CMERA formulation, this KU, K, this entangler plus coarse graining operator is equivalent to dilatation operator below this cutoff scale. So in this case, so we find some nice correspondence. So indeed, this network which we just constructed from ADS3, it's exactly the same as CMERA network, but below cutoff scale ratio. So there are some details of above cutoff scale, which I think Diffre talked about how this symmetry is realized, and that part is not clear, but at least this below that it's have a nice property. This at least we necessary condition should be satisfied if we want to claim CMERA is dual to Anton-Schütz.
Is there like some particular cutoff function or something that you get out of this approach?
No. That's part of the precise cutoff is not clear from this approach.
So,
That's I think very important, but unfortunately, that's so this kind of necessary condition.
So you're saying below the Ubiquitous cutoff, you have the CFT ground state.
Yes.
And then therefore you have.
Exactly. And this agrees with this geometric approach. And the. So there's a few comments. Is that actually so here we have in mind that CMERA network corresponds to the hyperbolic space, which is a time slice of ADS3. But we can repeat the same calculation for other slice. This is namely Doshita slice. So we have some hyperbolic space just defined by t equals 0 in global radius. But we can have a nice slice so-called Doshita space. This is now time-like. This is space-like, but time-like so different. But actually, symmetry has the same structure. And we can repeat the same thing like this. And that exactly, we get exactly the same statement. So that sense, it's as long as we see some ground state and this below UV cutoff scale, we cannot distinguish these two slices identification. So but hopefully, maybe if we look at more closely about the above around this UV cutoff scale, and also looking at some especially excited state, probably we should be able to distinguish them. And it is possible that two different choices of disentangler correspond to two different choices. So I think this network, even though tensor network, this continuous tensor network, it's more general than this is, formulation itself is quite general. We can choose any k. Then if we choose some k, we can maybe change the slice. That's something a very interesting future issue.
Can you interpret this space as a kinematic space?
Good question. But here it is not that related to non-local transition, but just real space. So that issue is not clear to me.
The key difference of the two slides will be the local reconstruction only works for a stable slide.
I think that is an excited state. I think you are talking excited state, right? Excited state. So you insert some local operator here, right? So that I agree. But here, discussion only for ground state. And we don't, so I think that's a very important point. If we act some operator here, so we should have a difference, so different. But that issue. It should be, understood better. But it's still, I should say, it's still confusing, that's the issue. Okay. And then, okay, thank you. And so now, but we can also focus on particular example, which is massless free scalar field. So this is discarded by the original paper by Hayagama and collaborators. So this is, I already explained in Diffre's talk, so I'll not repeat it. Just omega is just product state, and this is a annihilation operator localized at some particular space point is defined by this. And CMERA, so we get the point is that this entangler operation is described by Bogoliubov transformation. So I'm using A dagger, this creation operator language, but equivalent to this original one. And its coefficient is very important. This is this governs the strength of this entangler. How we add entanglement or cut the entanglement is exactly proportional to this function chi-u. Chi-u is constant for conformal field theory case, but it becomes, of course, non-trivial for mass-gapped case. But we focus on massless case. So we heavily use this part. And then, so the one interesting quantity we can compute easily is the information metric. So in CMERA, of course, we want to compute entanglement entropy. So we can somehow roughly estimate it, but I'll just come back later. But explicit calculation is not that so easy, at least analytically. So, but actually there are another easy quantity which is more tractable, which is the information metric, is defined by this way. So this is an inner product. So U is an energy scale, and we slightly change the energy scale and compare these two states. And if the state is the same, this is one, so distance is zero. But it's, they are a little different, so we have some deviation and measured by this function, which we call GUU. This is called information metric. It's a diffeomorphism invariant, that's clear from this. And we factor out some UV divergence piece. And so we can compute it explicitly. And essentially, as is clear from this picture, it's proportional to chi U. Chi U square is exactly GUU. So here, I write it. So this chi U, this entangle is proportional to. Sorry, this is large GUU. Sorry, this is large GUU. And there are some, and we can somehow cook up some heuristic argument, but this is just qualitative relation. But we can think that this GUU information metric is, roughly speaking, very similar quantity which as a GUU in holographic metric. GUU is a real holographic dual metric. But there behaves very similar way, and we can have some phenomenological evidence. But this is something we cannot prove explicitly. But if we assume this, then we can estimate the entanglement entropy just using holographic entanglement entropy, assuming holography and classical gravity dual. So it's roughly estimated. So this is a transverse volume. So it's area integral. These are we are talking about d-dimensional cohomology, and this is GUU appeared because GUU is sort of density square of density of this entangler. So each this entangler increases entanglement entropy 1 unit and so on. So this is a very rough estimation, but this gives some nice results, at least when qualitatively in CFT case. CFT case, of course, this is constant. This is just constant. This is just standard holographic formula. But mass gap case, we have some non-trivial function. And anyway, so that way, so this is we can do this for ground state because we know the explicit value, but we can also talk about an excited state, which, for example, generated by quantum quenches. So this is fortunately, this is in free theory, so quantum quenches, which we can think about mass quench. We start with mass gap theory, but suddenly mass goes to zero, this kind of quench step function. Then we can have just a Bogoliubov transformation of the state. We end up with some excited state, but described by Bogoliubov transformation of original vacuum. So for that case, there are nice properties that this entangler form of this entangler still takes almost same form, but this chi U takes now imagine as complex value. It's a complex conjugate each other, but it's chi U takes some complex number, but essentially same. It's Gaussian that works well, and based on that, in our previous work we computed this chi U. This chi U, how chi U have a time dependence about under this time evolution triggered by quantum quench. And this is, here is this plot. So this is, we have in mind some agency, but this is just come from the original CFT data. So this horizontal axis, this vertical horizontal axis is a time evolution. And this z is essentially come from this energy scale, U. So exponential U minus U is essentially Z. So this is the energy scale of which appears in C-Mera, and we roughly want to identify this energy scale, length scale as an extra dimension in anti-Doshita space. And this is so we plotted this as a function of, so this is a, the height is this disentangular density, like chi U, this is our information metric which we defined here. So roughly this is related to some gravitational dynamics because it's somehow related indirectly, but related to some component of metric. So this is a plot, and we see some analog of gravitational wave. So we excite this point. This is UB, highly UB equals Z equals zero. And this somehow, here we have quantum quench, but it's like some waves. But it's like a velocity have some, a lot of several velocities. So it's a bit confusing, but anyway, this is a result for free theory. But even free theory somehow captures some nice propagation of wave, gravitational wave-like behavior. So this is very qualitative.
Why do you say there's gravitational waves specifically? Like they look like waves, certainly.
But this is this is related to entanglement density. This wave of entanglement, and it should be related to metric, if we assume ADS CFT.
But gravitational waves are tensor waves, and this is a scalar field.
But this is a particular component of.
Okay.
U. So GUU is?
Sorry, this is in 2+1 dimensions?
This is 1+1 dimensional calculation.
Right.
But you can generalize in higher dimension, but that doesn't change so much. But you can add some matter field. You can have a matter. But you can generate same result, almost same result in higher dimension. So dimension is not that important here. Yeah. Thank you for this. Also, so now I would like to go to second approach. So if there are any questions, I'll answer. It's okay? Okay, so let me go on. So this is a totally different approach, but the aim is the same. We want to understand ADS tensor network from the viewpoint of continuous limit. So this is but this heavily motivated by the this very interesting idea of tensor network renormalization, which also we had some review talk by review part of this Frank's talk yesterday, and that this evenly results. It's a very interesting idea. So here, this is we start with some Euclidean path integral and rewrite in terms of network, tensor network. This is just a square tensor network, but we can somehow contract tensors. We can generate some simpler tensor structures and end up with a Mera diagram, Mera network. So this is quite a nice optimization of this tensor network and or may make this tensor network simpler and obviously complexity reduced quite a lot. So this is something motivated, but we want to do it in a continuous language, and I'm also a particular physicist, so I want to do it in a quantum field theory. So this is here is our idea. So this is a tensor network renormalization, but we want to do it in a path integral side. So because already started from Euclidean path integral, so we have some Euclidean path integral, and you can discretize path integral into many tiny lattice structures. And we want to make this path integral more efficient so that we cut it out to many path integrals. So we start with the path integral from here. So this is some initial state, but we don't care about details of initial state because we path integral for almost infinite long time, Euclidean path integral, and end up with we have some correct ground state wave function. We project the original unknown state down to ground state. So in that sense, we don't need the detail about the initial path integral. This is the coarse grained one is fine, but later little fine grained, and we repeat this fine graining, and in that end up with the precise fine graining, so that distance between each cell is like exactly cutoff scale, which we want. So this is what we call this optimization path integral.
But it's a path integral in the reverse direction.
But you can flip this first. This is kind of, because this picture, this difference paper, is somehow have a particular orientation. That's exactly this. Okay, so now, anyway, so let me formulate this optimization more precisely.
Do you know what happens with entanglement as you...
Sorry, entanglement?
If you cut it like a different values of Z, do you know what happens with entanglement in this cross-grading process?
Yeah, but it's the same as essentially Mera, like entanglement, I think, because it's, we have some entanglement between this because of through this slit. And this is coarse graining, right? This is coarse graining and sort of, qualitatively, I think, similar. Anyway, but in the end, we confirmed that also this approach precisely produces a precise value of entanglement entropy. But anyway, so this basic rule is a simplified path integral such that it produces a correct UV wave function. This is, of course, what we want, but we don't care about the intermediate step. We want to simplify intermediate step. But let's focus on 2D CFT. So then we can have some simple structure that metric is always written in this way, some conformal gauge. So we have some X and Z. Z is a Euclidean time, and X is a space direction, and there's some wild factor. But the point is that, so we have some position-dependent UV cutoff, but we can rewrite this in terms of language of metric. So metric changes, but we set a rule. So we have curved space metric, but one cell is a one unit length. Unit area corresponds to one cell. This is we keep this rule, but then if we change the cutoff, that exactly means curved space time, curved space metric like this form. So original, of course, this original metric is like this. So because we set it one cell is one unit length, so it's like we need a multiply very large factor. Epsilon is a UV cutoff scale, one over epsilon scale. This is just our convention, but we simplify metric. So that this has a much smaller value of this factor. sorry, scale factor, and then we, we have some better optimization. So anyway, so this ground state VV wave function is written this way. This is a standard formula. We pass an integral from to minus infinity to some point, so some difference time. Tau, we set equal z equals 0. And this is a defined some ground state wave function. And the, but the, we are focusing on CFT, and let's focus on particular 2D CFT. They have a very nice, it has a conformal invariance. And this is true in any CFT, but it's, if we have some CFT, so it's a wire invariant. But sometimes we have a so-called wire anomaly. So wave function can change. So this is a wire factor here. So metric changes. This is a flat metric, and the wave functional. This is a curved metric with this wire factor. But if we just put this factor, so it is essentially same. We get the same physics because of conformal invariance, but up to some factor. This is actually come from the conformal anomaly. And in 2D, this is governed by so-called Liouville theory, which is very useful actions, which is heavily studied for many purposes. But anyway, so our proposal is this. Anyway, we want to do some optimization. And we said that this metric is optimized when this overall factor wave functional is minimized. Because roughly this factor measures the amount of extra process of pass integral, so we want to reduce, and we want the minimum unit of this collective wave functional. So this is the idea. So and we keep this boundary condition. This boundary condition just says that we have fine graining at the end point, so we should have fine graining. So we use this, we claim this proposal, and this motivation is this vague motivation, the n, this normalization is sort of estimate this repetition of the same operations. In other words, this is somehow related, we expect something somehow related to the complexity. So it is n factor is exponential of complexity. This is a rough estimation. And so we'll have some more, I mean, very nice explanation by Bartek Cech, I think, this afternoon. Yes?
This looks a lot like the so-called dilaton action, like the exponential of the dilaton action. But in principle, if you, I mean, you don't minimize that with respect to the dilaton.
That's right. But that's right. For any choice of phi, you are right that we get the equivalent theory. But we want to just optimize pass integral.
Okay.
We want to. We just want to choose particular one, which makes everything simple.
Okay.
And what I want to say is that if we choose particular choice, then it's all calculation looks very similar to ADS CFT somehow. But of course, you can choose other gauge, and you get an equivalent calculation. Mm. Yeah, thank you. And anyway, so this is a sketch. And so we, this pass into, yes?
So did you use the fact, if I didn't know the fact that changing phi acts as changing the phase, would that argument not go through? Or in other words, are you using the fact that that changing the changing phi introduces the change in phase, or are you?
Phase, you mean phase factor?
Yeah,
you hear?
This is
actually, strings, but.
Yes, are you using the fact that changing phi changes normalization?
Yes, changes the normalization. Yeah, that's a
or are you,
original
or
motivation.
You or are you saying that if I have some phi, then performing the path integral will cost me complexity that's related to the Liouville action, and then you notice that it's related to that normalization.
But I don't have any definite, I mean, argument which connects this normalization to complexity, but this is very heuristic argument. Just that a normalization of wave function is just estimate amount of pass integral we did, so it's analog of this complexity.
Why you minimize the normalization rather than maximize?
Because this normalization is exactly, multiplicity of the procedure, and we want to make the shape up. We want to shape up the process.
So, is the logic that if I have a different normalization, then it's as if I have produced the state multiple times?
Yeah.
So if I just
exactly. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. This is very intuitive argument. Anyway. Yeah.
Can you give some details on the boundary condition? So you
This one?
Yes.
But anyway, we would like some fine-grained wave function. So this UV cutoff should be epsilon.
Mm-hmm.
we keep the same UV. We want to reproduce really UV wave function.
Right, but I didn't understand what epsilon was. Epsilon is a parameter that you are going to be changing at some point?
No, we don't change it. We can fix very small value because we just fix the UV theory.
Okay.
And you have a RAM. Eh? Sorry?
1 over epsilon
on bound. 1 over epsilon is like UV cut of lambda.
Which is like the size of the boundary.
Yeah, okay, right. That's right. You know, it is such. That's right. Yeah, okay. So this is a formulation I just explained. So we have some just widely scaling. So in 2D theory, it's have a simple structure, and this is this is a evolution. And so here it's of course time. This Euclidean time evolution is trivial, but if we after optimization, Euclidean evolution is non-trivial, and this is somehow probably related to some. Length-dependent wave function, which appears, of course, in CIMERA, and also this Rob Lee's talk yesterday, somehow probably expects some interesting connection. But the also idea is here, it's a high energy mode. When k is 1 over z is not important because we take a path integral over z time, z period of Euclidean path integral. So that's the reason we cut it out this way. Yeah, anyway, so in the end, already heuristically, we get the hyperbolic space, but we can do this more quantitatively. So this is a use of UV reaction because this when we do this widely scaling, this anomaly is written by this UV reaction. This is a well-known fact, first discussed by Polyakov, which is in the context of 2D string theory. It's called UV theory. And this is a UV reaction. Let's take this is a classical action because it's just the background field, background metric. And then we minimize this action. Then precisely these two terms should be zero. This is a here, from here, it's like we neglect some surface integral, but that's justified. And minimum is exactly hyperbolic space. So we can justify this claim by our optimization procedure. And we can just generalize to finite temperature. Then we have some sum of your double state, which we are familiar with, appeared in many talks. And so then we get some, we have two boundary now. We have two boundary and connected surface. They're connected, but we do pass integral. Between them, but we can shape up the manifold, and so that in there we get this. This is a familiar geometry, which is exactly time slice of BTZ, black hole, or Einstein-Rosen bridge. And we can also talk about excitation, so let's focus on our global radius. We can do the same thing for global radius and excite in the center.
Can you say it agrees with this time slice, which time slice? Maximizing the.
Yeah, it's a most symmetric time slice. T equals zero slice, so yeah. Yes?
Suppose I want to do this in three dimensions.
So here is ADS3, yeah, ADS3, CFD2.
Three dimensions in the field theory.
That's a good question. But that has a problem.
It's not enough to talk about.
Right, I agree. But in higher dimension, we have to worry about other component of metric, and we have to formulate optimization for other components. That's still not completely done. But as long as metric written in this way, like this way, so that we can talk about we can higher dimensional version of this kind of argument. In that case, we reproduce, for example, global AGS4 and like Poincaré AGS4 and that way. But the black hole is still difficult because we have to go beyond this ansatz. Anyway, but so I'm my talk is really limited to this two dimension. So, and we can talk about some excitation in the center of global radius 3. So we can, and this is related to this 2D picture. We excite some center of the disk. And so it has a conformal dimension h. So we have some exponential minus 2 h phi. It behaves like this because phi is kind of wildly scaling. So if n conformal dimension h, we describe this way. So this gives some extra source to this wave function, UV reaction plus this source, and we minimize it. This is, we can solve this. This is a well-known equation in UV theory, and this is a well-known solution for this. And then we find some nicely some deficit angle geometry. So this is exactly what we expect for the gravity dual when we excite the system. But this agreement is true when we assume conformal dimension is much smaller than C. So when C is order C, then we have some deviation. But this, if we must take into account the effect of quantum effect of this Liouville theory, so we know quantum Liouville theory, and use the result, this, we have a precise matching. So this means that, this suggests that for, I mean, if we assume some large C limit, we can forget about this correction, but if we keep some C finite and talk about finite correction, then we have to somehow modify theory to be more quantum reliable theory. But who's more details, we don't completely understand at this point. But anyway, so this heuristic picture is like this. So we have some Euclidean path integral, and we can optimize to some hyperbolic disk, hyperbolic manifold. But if we excite some one particular point, then we have to keep this information of this very high energetic source. So we need some more information around here. So that's exactly gives some back reaction to the metric. So we have some increased area and increased metric, increased entropy. And so then we get some different geometry and back reaction geometry. But this is exactly agree with the concept of general relativity. If we have some massive object, it changes the space-time and so on. It's at least nice agreements about this heuristic viewpoint. Okay, so finally, I'd like to talk about this calculation of entanglement entropy and the emergence of entanglement wedge. So this is a very concise, a very compressed slide, so I need to explain a little more. But anyway, what we want to do is not just a quantum set, but we look at some density matrix, reduced density matrix, and we want to optimize this path integral which gives reduced density matrix. This is, of course, very familiar in the context of some replica computation, entropy, and so on. So we have path integral, but we keep this two slits open. So the upper part is called A plus, and the lower part A minus. This is some, we specify various kinds of boundary condition here, but the other part we just simply path integral, infinity. So then we get a reduced density matrix. But we can talk about this optimization procedure. Again, we look at this Liouville action and minimize it. And then we find, so it is actually useful to divide the contribution into two parts, upper half part and lower half part, and paste with each other. So if we shrink this size to some half disk, and the other half is sitting here, it's the A plus and A minus here, and we paste these two boundaries, circular boundary, with each other. And this Liouville theory color analysis shows that the equation motion of boundary Liouville theory says that this boundary should have some vanishing equidistorescent curvature. So this is a Liouville action. This is a bulk Liouville term, but also boundary Liouville term. So this is a boundary Liouville. Let's take this zero so far, but we have always this equidistorescent curvature contribution. This is very important to have a conformal invariance. But anyway, equation motion for phi at the boundary, you get k equal. This exactly corresponds to entanglement, geodesic in ADS3, or this boundary of entanglement wedge. And so we paste these two guys with each other. So then we get the two copies of entanglement wedge. So anyway, we have some, by choosing this particular gauge, which we call optimization path integral, we somehow encounter the same geometry which we expect for ADS3 CFT2. And also we can compute this entanglement entropy. So we have to put some deficit angle here, as usual in replica toric. So that this deficit angle in the end turns out to be some angle shift of this two part boundary of this surface and this cut. This angle is originally 90 degrees, but slightly shifted by delta. And delta is given by this N is a replicated number. And so we evaluate this action. This is a wave function. This is a reduced density matrix. So that should directly relate to entanglement entropy by taking derivative about N. So rho A to the nth power is correspond to this geometry and take derivative N. And in the end, this is introduction of this deficit angle is equivalent to the adding this boundary Liouville term. This has also very nice property in the context of Liouville theory. So it's slightly shifted by very small, infinitesimally small amount. Then, but anyway, we can use some probe approximation and only contribution up to 1 minus n linear order, then this should come from here. So we take derivative of n, that exactly ends up with integral of exponential phi. And this coefficient just comes from the standard normalization of Liouville theory. And this exactly agree with holographic entanglement entropy formula. So that, of course, the coefficient agree, but also this surface should be geodesic because of this condition, equation motion for this boundary Liouville theory. Yeah, so these are essentially this ADS, so derivation of entanglement entropy and the entanglement entropy, entanglement wedge for ADS3 case. And we can somehow discuss some higher dimensional version of this, but we have to restrict, so far restrict to the particular metric, which we only have a wildly scaling. So this has a, so for wildly scaling, we have some nice property of CFT. And we can talk about higher dimensional version of Liouville theory. So this is a refined, but just to find some nice results. This is a very phenomenological way. But this has a, actually little in terms of Einstein-Hilbert action, this part, and also cosmological constant part if we embed in higher dimension. But again, we have a boundary U term, and we can have the same argument of metric and wave and wedge, entanglement wedge and entropy. And so just for finally, just comment on complexity. So, and we will have some more nice argument by Bartek, I think, this afternoon. But here our speculation. So there are a very interesting recent proposal of holographic side of computation of complexity, especially first started by the Susskind's idea, which is complexity equal to volume, and later complexity equal to action. It's a very interesting development. And yeah, so there are many also technical issues appear, but it's resolved by Loeb's paper, and there are many interesting developments. And so this motivated us to study some field theory definition of complexity, and we will hear some other interesting approach from Rob Meyer just afternoon. But in our context, our very natural candidate is just already mentioned, but minimum of this distributed action. At least this is well defined for 2D CFT. Now, higher dimensional case, we claim this is actually its counterpart, but only applicable to particular geometry, I should say. Yeah, so but assuming this, and we can roughly estimate this complexity in our approach. So here are some tentative results. So we have no idea how to exactly compare with what is known and so on, but somehow it looks like for Poincaré radius, we have just only linear divergence, and BTZ also, there are no extrapies, just somehow constant part drops out. And global radius, we have minus one. This looks like Kashmir energy, but this is a different quantity. And the 3D CFT, we have some quadratic divergence and constant. And 4D CFT, we have logarithmic term. This is important that you have a logarithmic term here, 3D CFT. But 4D, it's like cubic divergence, linear divergence, end up with constant. So might be useful for later analysis. Anyway, this is some ongoing point of this work. OK, so this is all of my talk. Let me summarize the conclusion. So this talk, we discussed two different approaches to ADS tensor network. First, I somehow give some overview of similar approach to ADS tensor network. And so precise identification still we are not completely understand, but it has some at least symmetrical argument says that it is consistent with identification of some slices of ADS and both hyperbolic slice and Bojita slice, at least as long as we look at the ground state. And should be resolved when we talk about excited state and so on. So it's a very interesting future problems. So this similar approach, if we want to do some explicit calculation, we have to do it in free theory. But on the other hand, the second approach, which we call it an optimization path integral, this can basically apply to any CFT because only central charge appears and the UV reaction is universal. And probably this, we encounter some quantum aspect of UV theory a little bit, and probably that suggests large C limit have some simple saddle point and related to some classical geometry picture. But anyway, we have some, anyway, nice result for entanglement wedge, entropy, and dual metric, at least two dimension. But the higher dimensional version is quite non-trivial. And so UV reaction is some field theoretical counterpart of complexity, and minimizing complexity of tensor network is somehow some continuous version of this tensor network renormalization right procedure for particular this quantum critical systems. And it's related to also the solution to Einstein equation. And of course, there are many, many problems, but also we should understand how the time-dependent dynamics. So far, our argument is restricted to static background and also how to compute correlation functions. So we need to more introduce some matter fields contribution, so on. And also, we want to understand sub-ADS locality in this framework. Then we should take into account this large C limit and also the spectrum gap and so on. Yeah, these are all of my talk. Thank you very much.
So do you have a way to calculate this for the coming old black hole?
That's a good question. That's we are trying to understand now. But so far, it looks a little non-trivial. But maybe there are some good understand. Uh-huh. But so far, we restricted the party. Static case as the real t equals zero slice of VTZ.
Question there. So this,
analog in higher dimensions to the variable action. What are the assumptions that you make to for it to be
good. But this comes from, this is a cosmological constant term.
Right.
And this is actually Einstein Hilbert action.
Okay.
But it's restricted to this, actually, this particular case.
So you assume like A equals C or something?
Yeah. This is only I think this is only applied to holographic CFT,
right,
the leading of the A equals C case.
Right.
So general case, I don't know. But anyway, this cook up so that it reproduces entanglement wedge and entropy. That's very phenomenological in that sense.
Other questions?
So that, I could take a slice of ADS and embed it in very many space times, couldn't I? I bet I could even do it in Kalski space.
So I should
identify, maybe not the Kalski space, but we'll take for granted that there are other space times I can embed.
You can do it in Kalski,
yeah,
bigger dimension.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I should identify this with ADS globally. Because the correspondent requires this to be ADS. Proper, right? The whole, the actual geometry, not just
But anyway, here we are looking at some particular time slice of ADS. Even not, we don't see full ADS space time itself, but only time slice.
Sure.
So it's very only restricted, our information only restricted to, kind of sub manifolds, which we expected dual to. I don't think that's easy to find some global embedding and
stuff. ADS CFT correspondence required the actual ADS geometry and not just a single slice of it. Is that for the graph? Okay.
Sorry.
If I may ask another question. So maybe this is related to the previous question. So if you are finding a slice,
right.
But we know in general space that all the eternity services do not lie in the same minimal space.
Right, I agree. Yeah.
So does that mean like we should have different optimization for different?
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't have a definite answer to that. That's exactly the point of time dependent background. But maybe that's we get some one slice, but that's not enough, just not enough to explain entanglement entropy if we just pick up geodesic, I think. So for to compute entanglement entropy, maybe we need a different slice. But for just this, after this optimization, we just get different space. That's also possible.
And the talk of Robert Lay, to get to write the rate function of alt integral that was important to at this boundary term to the action. Did you also have that, or?
Which part?
To write the rate function of alt integral and talk of Robert Lay. Well, maybe it was important, right? There was this extra boundary term in the action in order to impose basically correct boundary conditions.
That's good. I think, for example, this guy is very important. This kind of boundary term is very important. For gravity sector, for example, we get this kind of boundary term.
Okay.
This is up to when we just pass integral, we get some, even here, this contributes. So we have some contribution from boundary. And if we add matter fields, there are much more complicated boundary term. And I think that's very important when we compute the energy stress tensor from this kind of approach. And that's, in the boundary term, can contribute.
Okay, great. Let's thank Tashi again.